Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive, positively into the old year, into the new year. And when we get into the new year, I'm still going to be having the candy cane cash. It's been a very lucky batch. I had a $100 winner at Costas 2 weeks ago. We've had so much fun on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, but now we're on to the real fun of 2026. A Festivus. For the rest of us, Luke Jones will be in the WNST Baltimore Positive press box seat at the previously named Heinz Field, not after Heinz Ward. Pretty good ketchup, though. I like the relish. I'm not a mustard guy. We all know that. Decent on the barbecue sauce as well. But now, Acrisure, whatever that is. Luke will be on the inside. I don't know. I might be at some country bar down the street, but I will be chauffeuring Luke on social media up to Pittsburgh because. We don't get to hang out much anymore, and we haven't had baseball playoff games where they threaten to throw me out of the press box. So, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I mean, not just the holidays last week and all the fun I have with crab cakes and great food around here and visiting sponsors. My wife came back from New Hampshire. I swear to God, dude, she's right after your heart. She ran to Pizza John's on Sunday evening,
There you go.
so she would have pizza here because she was jonesing it. So. I've had Pizza John's. I've had cookie. I have cookie in my teeth right now. I'm at gingerbread stuck. We had great football over the weekend. And now, and I'll let you be the Debbie Downer on this. It's fine. You picked against them last week.
I
At
did.
some point, you're doing a heel turn here. There's like a Hollywood Hogan thing going on at this point in your career. I've always been sort of Ric Flair, the scientific wrestler that, love me, hate me, I'm walking to the ring and woo! So that's where I am on it. But we're walking to the ring here one more time with this go round of Steelers Ravens. And I really don't care that they're 8-8 and 8-9 and whatever they're going to be. Somebody's got a home game and a playoff game, and it wouldn't have been any different. Dude, ask the Rams who are going to win 12 or 13 games, or whoever loses the Seattle game this week, or the difference between going on the road and being at home and what you have to do to earn a home game. And we argue about this in baseball, whether it's good or bad. In the baseball side, it's always good on the football side. Better to have a bye, I think, and certainly in football. And man, the Steelers have effed this all up, right? They would have had a bye this week, just been able to rest everybody and run around with what's the backup quarterback there? What's his name?
Mason Rudolph.
Mason Rudolph. I was going to call him Morgan Wallen, but that's the country in me. I'll be at Jason Aldean's show on Sunday night watching on the big screen, and I'll either see a really deflated Mike Tomlin, and I'll be in Pittsburgh when the top goes down, maybe even in the stadium in his skybox for all I know, or it might be Harbaugh. I don't know. Like the tenor of all of this and the temperature changing in and around all of this. I mean, even these awful teams have Mel Kiper on now talking about the quarterback they're getting in April to come save their ass, right? Whether the Giants are going to get the one pick and they've got the right guy, and whether Harbaugh might be the one coaching them or Tomlin. Like, I just think this is really. One of these teams had to make the playoffs, and the other one's not going to make it, and we're going to figure that out. But I think this is very tumultuous, all of this for Lamar, for his contract. And that's just in this bubble where the aftermath of Derrick Henry running the ball and historic this and 36 that was what a knucklehead Harbaugh was for not running him last week. So there's that. I don't know that you can survive that 20 years into this for either one of these coaches. I just think there are tectonic plates underneath the franchises shifting here. Somehow the Ravens aren't the ones hosting the game next week, and some key players have made key mistakes again, and somehow they lost to these bums. They lost to a 42-year-old quarterback who has no weapons with a depleted defense, like all the way around. If somehow the Ravens lose, Monday gonna be ugly around here. It's gonna be ugly somewhere, and it's gonna be a week earlier than even the playoff ugly that'll come along the line of, oh, we didn't win the Super Bowl. But dude, if the Steelers win on Sunday night, it changes a lot of things for their franchise to make that deodorized. And I think that does the same thing here, even though you won't say that now because we don't think they're gonna win the Super Bowl. But I think it's very deodorized if they get a home game next week and somehow win it. I think it fixes things for here. In a way that last week things were not fixed at all.
But should it be that though? You know what I mean? Like, and this will kind of go back to where we were the week after Thanksgiving, right? Where, albeit the Ravens were coming off of the Thanksgiving loss to the Bengals, but the Steelers, I mean, all you were hearing that week, I mean, there was more talk in Pittsburgh about Mike Tomlin's job security in his future than anything about Raven Steelers. And then they came into Baltimore and won. So I think the lesson here is when you're talking about these two organizations trying to evaluate here, I'm not saying the micro doesn't matter because it does, clearly, because it's part of the macro, but I think it's probably a lesson to all of us that everyone's riding the wave a little bit too much. And I think you have to take a step back and kind of look at it big picture wise. And I think for Pittsburgh, it's like, okay, if they win on Sunday night, but then they lose in the wild card round, it's another year where they haven't won a playoff game. Okay, they won the division, but they almost blew it in week 17 with a loss to the Browns, and they won it at what, 10 or 10 and 7, or no, 9 and 8. I mean, it's
But
just,
I
or
think to the
I guess
winner, they
it'd be
gutted
10 and
out.
7.
They gutted out
It is,
a
but
week 18 win, and they got a home game, and they gave themselves a chance to go to a Super Bowl. And for the
I mean,
loser,
I.
everything that was ever bad, booing Renegade, that'll all happen on Sunday night if the Ravens are the winners. And it all happens again if the Ravens have to get on the bus and you go down into that room that I'm banned from, that I've been in 25 times in my life doing my job. On behalf of you, the listeners, you, the viewers, if you want me to stop talking about it, write to Chad Steele. I'll never stop talking about it. It's wrong. It's wrong this Sunday, and it's very wrong. So, all that being said, if you're in there and they've lost, and there is no playoff game next week, and they have stunk at home, and they went to Lambeau and ran the ball finally with Derrick Henry and got it done. And somehow, a couple turnovers, Lamar plays, but he's not right. Huntley, the glass slipper, cracks, and they send the dogs in on him, and they can get after Henry, pop the ball free, hurt somebody's feelings. Confidence level goes down if you fumble, something like that. I don't. These games always are that, dude. This
Yeah,
game is going to
I
be 19-17. It's going to be dirty. It's going to be cold. It's going to be 8 minutes left to go. Oh, mama. I mean, all that's going to happen, and the feelings are going to get there, and somebody's going to get on the bus and have to go home and play golf and deal with Lamar's mother, or deal with the Pittsburgh fan base and the fact that you don't have a quarterback and you're not bad enough to get a good one. Like, tectonic plate shift. It's just an enormous game. And to your point, we don't think either one of these teams won a Super Bowl either way. So, like,
And
we don't
that's
feel
where,
great about it, right?
right. And that's where I kind of struggle with, okay, Tomlin was being fired and then they won three in a row and now that he's being fired again. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really how either of these organizations operate. And that's not to say that Mike Tomlin's not that he's not going to be fired or that the Ravens couldn't potentially move on from John Harbaugh in some kind of way. But it's just, that we're just doing this, it's as the hot seat turns, like this team won and this team lost. So now this head coach is on that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think either of these organizations
Dude, that was a
operate in
bad
that
loss for
way.
Mike Tomlin.
It was a very bad loss.
Woo!
Like, that's why I said, I mean, for all the criticism of John Harbaugh, and look, I've been critical of John. I said to you last week, I'm thinking more and more that maybe it is like
It's
Andy
a
Reid
bad
in
loss for John
Philadelphia.
Harbaugh when they don't run the ball with Derrick
But
Henry last week, too.
losing to the Patriots pale at home, even at home, pales in comparison to what just happened to Pittsburgh in Cleveland on Sunday. That, I mean, that's a top five all-time loss for Mike Tomlin in 18, 19 years as head coach. Has John Harbaugh had a loss like that? I don't know, right? I mean, that, don't get me wrong, there have been bad losses and, fourth quarter collapses, but like to just flat out lose to a terrible team in with that,
Well,
with
John
those
gets
stakes on the
cover if
line.
they lose with Snoop this week. They lose with the backup
Sure.
quarterback this week. John doesn't smell nearly as bad as he does if they lose. If they lose, John's not going to smell good no matter what. Like, I don't Like, if they lose, they're going to lose having run Derrick Henry a lot, him having fumbled,
Yeah.
or it not worked. But that's the game plan, no matter what. We
I
can sit
guess
here and say that, right?
the point I'm trying to make is did the Cleveland Browns beating the Steelers on Sunday save John Harbaugh's job? You know what I mean? Like,
Right. Yeah, good
you know what I
point.
mean? Like, and that's
Because
where
the
I
season
kind
should be
of and
over.
that's where I kind of struggle with putting too much of a referendum on this specific game for either team, good or bad, mind you. Like
Because the
the idea.
body of work speaks for itself,
Yeah,
right?
and that's where I kind of struggle with this thing in
But the
terms of
body
like
of work's really good if they're still playing 2 weeks from now.
I
Somehow, either one of them.
understood, but like but again, for me, for like Pittsburgh, it's like, okay, if you beat a mediocre Ravens team on Sunday night and then the Texans come in and blow you out in the wild card round, do they feel any better about Mike Tomlin and the state of the Steelers from that point moving forward than if they lose Sunday night? You know what I mean? Like, that's where I kind of struggle with this. Oh, he's going to be fired this week, and oh, well, he looks better this week. You know, like the Ravens,
Mike
Ravens fans are
Tomlin would look a
riding.
lot better with two wide receivers right now, right?
Sure. Well,
And TJ Watt.
John Harbaugh would look a lot better right now with a fully healthy Lamar Jackson, which we haven't seen since week two or three, right? I mean, so that's where I kind of just struggle with this idea of, the outcome of this game determining, if the losing coach gets fired. I do think there's a much stronger argument for Tomlin to go. One, because of what the last 9 years have been anyway, with them not winning a playoff game. And to have this kind of collapse 2 years in a row, keep in mind, they led the division in December last year also, and they completely collapsed. So for them to go into week 17 with a two-game lead, with any number of football analytics sites saying they had a 93, 92, 90% chance of winning the division and making the playoffs, and then you choke that away, that might be that alone isn't getting you fired, but it's the potentially the final nail in the coffin of this being what it's been for them for the last 9 years. Whereas like with the Ravens, it's the same, it's the same idea. Okay, it's like, okay, if you go into Pittsburgh and win, and then if you lose in the wild card round, let me be clear. I don't think John Harbaugh is being fired in that scenario. I think maybe there's a mutual parting kind of scenario, but I don't know. Like the fact that the Browns won on Sunday, like now it feels like we're not going to talk about that scenario in the way that we would have had the Browns won, right? So like it's weird for me, to kind of look at it in those terms because, again, it's Ravens Steelers. It's great. I'm excited about it. As I said to someone on social media who was kind of asking, like, should we be happy about this? Or is this, if you're someone that wants some change around here, is this a good thing? I said, you always want to be playing for a chance to go to the playoffs. I mean, and there's no question about that, right? You never want to apologize for having a chance, even if you're a mediocre 8-8 outfit. But that said, in terms of like the bigger evaluation at work here, in terms of where is this franchise, what went wrong in 2025, all of that, do you just table that and say, oh, well, we're fine because the Browns beat the Steelers on Sunday and now we're going to have a chance to go beat another mediocre team, right? You know what I mean? Like, I just like it. That's where I struggle a little bit because, you talked about the tectonic plates, but these two organizations, it's mu talking about a glacier is probably a more accurate way of talking about how these teams change from a brass standpoint, right? From a leadership standpoint. You're talking about the two longest tenured head coaches in the league. I know Pittsburgh has a younger general, both teams have a younger general manager now, but that was still grounded in stability of, Pittsburgh having a longtime general manager and Ozzie Newsome being here from the beginning for 2 decades, right? I mean, so tectonic plates and yeah, an earthquake is sudden, right? And like bam, boom, that's fast, but that really doesn't align with how these two teams have operated. So that's where these last few weeks are just so, it's tough to kind of marry what fan perception is compared to how they feel internally. It's like I said to you, it doesn't matter what you or me or guy at the end of the bar thinks about John Harbaugh. It matters what Steve Bisciotti thinks about John Harbaugh. I suppose it matters what Sashi Brown thinks in terms of a business standpoint and the fallout of it if they lose Sunday night and You know, the most you do is fire a couple assistant coaches. Then how are you selling season tickets? You know, how are you selling next year's team? Same conversations are going on in Pittsburgh right now, right? Even if the Rooney family doesn't want to fire Mike Tomlin. So, you know, that's a long-winded way, I guess, of saying, you know, I'm not sure that, like, you know, fans are kind of flapping in the wind here. It's one, you know, this guy's on the hot seat, then this guy's back on the hot seat, then this guy's okay. You know, I'm fascinated to see what these two organizations themselves actually think. But that having said that, I do think the Pittsburgh, like, if they lose Sunday night and you're telling me they went into week 17 with a two-game lead and they lost to the Cleveland Browns, home or, you know, home or away or on Mars, like, there's never an excuse for that, to lose to the Cleveland Browns with what they had on the line on Sunday. And then if you lose at home to your biggest rival, who, let's face it, is not very good this year, and you choke away the division, then yeah, I kind of see that scenario really feeling much more of a point of no return for Mike Tomlin than even talking about how we were talking about Harbaugh last week. I still have doubt about whether the Ravens are actually going to make that change, win or, you know, win or lose, you know, regardless of what happens here over the next couple weeks. But man, for them to, if they choke that away, I mean, I saw someone mention, you know, and this was a Pittsburgh writer. He was saying if they lose on Sunday night, Tomlin should be fired before he even gets back to the locker room. I mean, that's how bad that should be perceived. And, you know, I don't know if it'll be go down quite like that, but man, I mean,
Well, let's go to the other side of it. Luke Jones is here, Baltimore Luke. We're getting ready for the game. If you're on the WNST text service, you'll get any breaking news, including Zach Eflin, and your thumbs up on Zach Eflin, right?
thumbs up with an asterisk of I hope they're not done on the rotation side. I love that as their number five starter. I love that if it means Tyler Wells can now move to a bullpen role, which is where I think he is best suited. But if that's the, you know, if Boz and Zach Eflin are the rotation moves for the offseason, then I think they've missed the mark there. So I'm okay with it as your third guy. By the way, I want to at least mention had back surgery. It's, you know, based on the timeline that they reported back in August, I don't think it's a sure thing that he's ready for opening day necessarily. So maybe that becomes what Kyle Gibson was for them last spring. Now, you hope he pitches way better, but the point was they signed Kyle Gibson in late March. He didn't pitch until May. So maybe this is something along those lines a little bit more. If it
Well, they
is,
know him and trust him, and this is a
yeah.
place he wants to be, and
He
that's
wants to be
cool.
here, sure. And I like it if that's what it is. I don't like it if this is plan A or plan B in terms of your rotation. Like, you got to aim higher than that.
Well, we got about
Zach Eflin was in the rotation last year, and we saw it wasn't good enough. So that's.
6 weeks for spring training, 10 weeks, 11 weeks before we got to think about opening day. Let's go back to the conversation we just had about. All right, Tomlin, Harbaugh, who smells good? Who smells bad? What week is it? Are they booing Renegade or are they cheering it on Sunday night? How are you and I when we're doing radio in Monroeville at 5:30 in the morning on a Monday morning? And by the way, we are going to Pittsburgh this week. One of us at least will be in the locker room. Both of us should be in the locker room on behalf of all of you, as we've done for many, many years. But Lamar. There's no thought in Pittsburgh that I mean, we know the ending for them there in regard to Aaron Rodgers, what the quarterback would need to do. And one of the issues that you would make and will be the story if somehow the Ravens win, the story in Pittsburgh next week when they fire Tomlin or if they're going to do that would be, does he want to go coach the Giants and have a quarterback where he's not starting from scratch because that job is perceived to be the gem job because they're the Giants. Because the Commanders stink, because the Cowboys always, like there's opportunity there with the Giants. Although they haven't been much in, recent times to recommend much of what we've come a long way from George Young and Ernie Accorsi and going to Super Bowls and whatnot. But that job has a quarterback. When Billick got fired here, and if you open Purple Rain 2, open your reading to Purple Rain 2, Billick gets fired in the prologue. And part of that was that Steve didn't believe he had a quarterback and was going to find a quarterback and threw Redmond and Bowler and having the rent McNair, that it's just like, we're going to grow the quarterback and the coach together. Worked out great for Harbaugh with Flacco, worked out great for Harbaugh to stick around with Lamar, right? Tomlin hasn't had that after Roethlisberger, right? I mean, just hasn't. From that perspective, to be able to have a bridge. I think if the Steelers lose, there's much more of a we're going to get the coach and the quarterback at the same time or whatever. Although both of these guys are under contract, they both will be working. Whoever doesn't want to work for the Ravens or the Steelers, and they both might be on their way out, right? Like literally, both might be to time. Then the Giants' job becomes popular if they still want to coach. I have no idea. I only talk to John Harbaugh when he writes to me and sends me scripture and asks how my wife is doing. But the tectonic plates for both of these franchises with 18, 19-year coaches and wherever they are with their quarterbacks, and you are of the mindset, and this brings me to Lamar. You are of the mindset that there's no way they'll play without Lamar. And that they can't get something done, and they won't get something done, and they'll have to get something done, and they'll have to be all in on Lamar, and John will have to be in on all in Lamar. And whether, I don't know if you read the Mike Preston piece last week that everybody was, up in arms about or whatever. I mean, the head coach has texted me in times showing me personal frustration with his quarterback years ago before they inked him, not about the things that I'm up in arms about telling the guy in Pennsylvania to perform fellatio on him on Twitter and leaving it there 5 days. The silly man boy childhood things that a 21-year-old would do with a lot of money that now a 29 or 30-year-old maybe is expected to behave differently or be different or be more wise or be more leadership oriented or have an agent that's not his mother, that I know Florio when I see him talk about it. But it really does create. Wasn't a good look for the Ravens last week, even if Preston's just making it up. And I'm not even accusing him of that because, I mean, he's
Right.
made things up about me. I promise you that. But in this particular case, I'll take it at face value that there's some frustration with Lamar's inability to get on the field for whatever reason, that this has been other things, that being the anti-vax guy during COVID, as was reported, just general. Not coming to OTAs, like all of that stuff festers and it becomes like a real zit on Monday morning. If he doesn't play Sunday night, somehow they lose a game they're supposed to win to this suboptimal Steeler mess that it is. And they're playing the Texans next week, and you and I are driving down the mountain. Or maybe we'll stop and get a Dairy Queen in Breezewood just for old time's sake for the bus. But like, the Lamar thing to me is not written in stone, which complicates the John thing. I think the biggest complication Mike Tomlin has, with or without winning this game, with or without getting their ass kicked by the Texans next week at home, if they survive this, is just he doesn't have a quarterback. The franchise doesn't have a quarterback.
Sure.
Here, think we have a quarterback. You love the quarterback. I love the quarterback. We all love the quarterback. How much for the quarterback? Is he going to play? Where is he? Does he like it here? Does he want to be here? Do we like him? Does everybody in the building like him? Or, have we been putting the front on? How does he get along with Chad Steele? I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this, and I don't really want to comment on someone else's reporting, and that reporting can people can think what they want about it. I will say this about this will be the one thing I say about it. I think it would be I think to completely dismiss reporting on Lamar Jackson of that nature, to completely dismiss it. So to just have the idea in your head that it's 100% made up and it's complete baloney and all that, I think that would be as naive as believing that a two-time MVP quarterback is the biggest problem for this organization as well, right? What am I saying there? The truth lies somewhere in the middle there.
I can confirm that they have that they're that
Yeah.
Harbaugh has
But
had frustration with Lamar
let's
Jackson. I can confirm
let's
that. So,
understand that these
yes.
players are human beings. Players are people. You manage people. People are not perfect. People have things about them that you don't love.
Eric
People have
DaCosta, he always leads with that,
no
right? Literally.
doubt. So look, I'm not going to sit here and try to. Again, I'm not going to go through it detail by detail, but to completely dismiss it, to say it's a complete nothing and it's completely fabricated, I think that's as naive as to any agenda where anyone would say Lamar Jackson is the Ravens' biggest problem, which that would be baloney and
By the way,
ridiculous as
if
well.
Lamar doesn't want to be here for whatever reason, for
Then that's a different
whatever
conversation.
reason,
Then that's a different conversation,
then
sure.
and maybe he's done with here and whatever and mad at the doctor. Who knows what, right? But whatever, if he wants out and perceives that he can go play in Miami, he and his mom might take a pay cut to go do that with $250 million already in the bank. If he feels like that's what he wants to, because he doesn't have union pressure. He
Yeah.
has his own pressure of his own. I need to win. I need to win a Super Bowl. I need to be validated. I need to get I
Sure.
need to have a statue built for me. That's not going to happen here unless I win. Do I like Mr. Eric? Do I like Mr. John? Hey, what happened to Mr. Nestor? I don't know. You love the kid. I've always liked the kid from afar, but I do think there's a point for him with the legs and with whatever eccentricities he has, whatever that Willy Wonka, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, the teeth, like just all of it, what the pizzazz, the modern player out on Twitter, doesn't make commercials. He's about winning. I mean, there's no body that would say that Lamar's not about, at least last I heard, he's about winning. And man, the pressure on him this week with this back thing that's clearly killing him, to play or not play, the state of the team the morning after for Harbaugh and everybody, if he doesn't play and they lose, or if Snoop plays and they wind up winning games without him. What if they win this week? What if they beat Houston without him? That would be crazy, but you don't want to throw Lamar off the side of the boat. But to your point, Lamar's got different kinds of emotions and feelings than maybe some other people would have and act through their agent. And I know Florio, but we're talking big stakes here all the way around. And if somehow they're not playing football next week, man, there's nothing hotter than my $50 million quarterback didn't play, couldn't play, did play, didn't play well, played well, shouldn't have played, had a back problem, had a leg problem. And we want to fire the coach in the morning. And it felt very infighting to me last week, Luke. You know what I mean? Well, our friend Jason Cole would say on the edge of chaos. Preston's writing that stuff, and you and I are basically saying, well, could be true. You might, not, I can't confirm that it's not true for sure. And I'm certainly not of the mindset of Ravens.com and all is well in the castle and
Right.
all that, because I don't get the vibe that the way the stadium is emptied out and the emptiness and the losses at home and the disappointment and the not running the Derrick Henry and the fact that people have been much more uppity about Harbaugh on a national level, that I put on a game where they win and everybody from Shannon Sharp through to the post game and, Sims and Tony Dungy are saying, well, maybe they should have run the ball last week. Geniuses. So Harbaugh's taken a lot of abuse. Lamar's taken a lot of abuse. There's been a lot of disappointment. I can't imagine any more disappointment than him not playing the backup quarterback, losing a game they're supposed to win in Pittsburgh on Monday morning. We got to talk about it. Like something bad's gonna, I mean, we're gonna wake up in Pittsburgh. Something's gonna be on fire Monday morning because that's this kind of game and this kind of season with these kinds of stakes. And that really is the story to start the year, which next week might be, hey, we're packing our bags and going to Jackson, but we're winning playoff games because one of these teams could be doing that too.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and look, I mean, there's so much about the Lamar thing that I don't really care about. You know, some of the details you mentioned, I don't care. Like, I don't even know why his bringing up his teeth is even relevant. I know you were just kind of talking about it, his
Well, they
personality,
all
whatever.
have the teeth now, so
All
that's
that,
part of
but
the
that I don't care about. I
modern.
don't care. I couldn't care less about that. That's a non-issue for me. The issues that I have, and as I just said, to me, trying to look at this in a balanced way, I think it's naive to completely dismiss the reporting as nothing. And I think it's just as naive to think that Lamar Jackson is this organization's problem, right? I mean, I just like that's insane to me. Someone who's a two-time MVP and
Well, I
should
could
be a
see
three-time
Bisciotti
MVP.
saying
Well,
to John with the cigar and a a drink, I pay you $20 million a year to manage him. You got to get the most out of him. You got to make him happy. You
And to
got to
me,
limit
that
whatever
might
his eccentricities are. He's the most talented football player on the planet. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Now, Mike Tomlin doesn't have that going on in Pittsburgh. You know,
Yeah, I
he doesn't
mean,
have that.
he
He
hasn't had a
doesn't.
quarterback since late career Ben Roth, and even at the end of his career, Roethlisberger wasn't the guy that he was anymore. You know, I mean, it's been a long time since Pittsburgh's had elite quarterback play. So to me, that might be the only thing that's saving Mike Tomlin at this point in time, right? It is the idea that he's got a 42-year-old quarterback. You completely whiffed on Kenny Pickett, and Kenny Pickett's been with three teams since then, right? No one thinks Kenny Pickett can play. Like it's not like you didn't develop him. He's just not very good. So anyway, bringing it back to the Ravens, I mean, you know, what you just laid out there, I'll say this much. Short of a scenario where Lamar Jackson comes out the day after the season and says, I'm done here, I don't want to play here, that's that. Any other scenario, I would reject the notion that you're going to pick John Harbaugh over Lamar Jackson. Like if one has to go, like I'm sorry, I would just wholeheartedly reject that. But because of what you just said,
It would
you know.
say everything to me if John Harbaugh said, I'd rather just go play with Jackson Dart right now. Like, that would be like,
Maybe,
wow.
maybe. But and you know what I would say? Well, the Ravens owe it, like this organization owes it to this fan base to see if you can get another head coach that aligns better with Lamar before you give up on Lamar. And that would kind of be my thought on that. But here are the things that concern me about Lamar Jackson. He's now been unavailable at the end of three of the last five seasons. And now he could still come back this year. Maybe he comes back and plays Sunday night. Maybe he plays well, and maybe that does start a
See, this
run.
is the thing where you're about to play hardball with his agent and say, these are the black checks against
I mean,
him,
I'm just,
right?
it's just
Like,
concerning. Like, it doesn't
literally,
mean I'm
and
getting
they
rid of
don't
them.
have the ability to negotiate that way. That's really at the crux of what Chad Wiesling would tell me, or Lee Steinberg, and they both have come, you know, hey, Joe Lynn, I can get any of these guys on, and they talk about how that's in everybody's best interest, and that doesn't happen. And that really becomes, a nasty little wound without a band-aid, literally without any salve, when we're talking about why we want to take money away from you, or why we're less committed to you, because you're about to be a hard ass. And I commend you for that, because this is really the way it really goes down. And this is the real big boy stakes of the billion-dollar franchise, and thinking about how they're going to navigate this, especially, and again, if he doesn't want to be here. And I've said
Oh.
that from jump, that this might not be his ultimate place where he wants to be, that he loves being, loves coming to work, loves, you know, like, it didn't feel that way when he didn't go to Cincinnati a couple of years ago. And, you know, $75 million, get, you know, a check changed that, you know, like, and they felt the same way for Myles Garrett, who's running around trying to go to the Hall of Fame with these bums, and, you know, didn't have any problem signing up for it. So I don't know what's in the heart or the soul of these guys, but this is the time of the year, as Billick would say, time for pay, time for play. I mean, nothing's bigger than Lamar and John. If last week there's no detente and the running back ran the ball 36 times, and we think there's going to be more detente if he doesn't play this week and they get eliminated, man.
Yeah. So, you know, fully acknowledging he hasn't been available at three of the last five seasons at the end when they've at least been in an elimination scenario, which that's what Saturday night was for them, regardless of what happened in Cleveland the next day to extend the season. Had they lost to the Packers, it would have been over at that point and he wasn't available. I'm not saying that to criticize him for that. He was injured. Like he was injured. So my question would be there, not so much that, you know, that means that what he is now is just what he's going to be moving forward. I'll continue to reject that. I'll continue to point out that arguably last year was the best season of his career. I mean, that's how great he was last year.
And he's pretty great in the first half against Buffalo this year when he had his health,
Sure,
when we're
exactly.
sure he was healthy at the beginning of the
Yes.
year.
So that's where I look at this and I say, okay, here would be my concern with Lamar, if I'm being completely honest with you and really trying to pull back the curtain as much as I'm going to pull it back here. My question would be, is he doing everything he possibly can at this stage of his career? In the same way that we all, when we were all 21 years old, we could eat whatever the heck we wanted. You know, some of us worked out, but even if you didn't, you could still stay in pretty good shape. just because your metabolism of a someone in their early 20s is much more favorable and forgiving than it is when you're in your 30s, your 40s, and your 50s,
I
right?
can
So,
confirm that as
yeah,
being 15 years
I can
older than
too. I
you.
mean, I shudder to step on the scale after the holidays here. I'll be getting back on the mat and doing DDPY and all
Which
that.
cookie do you want me to hold up for
Yeah,
you right now? I have a
exactly.
couple in my
But,
container.
and this is the case for any athlete. This is not a Lamar Jackson thing. This is any professional athlete. As you get older, are you adjusting and doing everything you need to, you can possibly do under the sun to maintain your level of greatness, your athleticism, your speed, your health? That's the big one. Or is it you're just, and I'm not suggesting that this is what Lamar is doing, but is he, and for me, it's not even like what he's done. Now it's more so, what are you doing moving forward? You've had this injury-plagued year that started with a hamstring injury in week three. And regardless, and we might find out that Lamar played with a slight tear in one of his ligaments or something this year in his knee, right? I mean, we might find that out. We might find out Lamar's having a knee surgery as soon as the season ends. Not like playing on a torn ACL or anything crazy, but something that's impacted him, right? It happens all the time. I don't need to tell you that. One of the big items of business at the season-ending press conference every year is asking what players are going to have off-season surgeries, because inevitably it's at least three or four, if not a dozen, guys that have that. It's a brutal game. We all understand that. So, if we're ruling out that part of it, and again, I don't know that. My question would be, Lamar, you've had a really frustrating season, even by your own admission, with all these nagging things that have happened. How are you going to approach this offseason? Are you going to approach it differently than you have in the past because you've had these hiccups of some of these frustrating injuries with at least one soft tissue injury? A hamstring is something that, look, let me be clear. I'm not saying this meant Lamar Jackson was out of shape, but a hamstring injury is a soft tissue injury that players can do as much as they possibly can to try to prevent that. Has Lamar done that in the past? Look, for the couple injured seasons that he had at the end of 21 and 22, he also had seasons where he stayed completely healthy, right? Other than a stomach bug, where he missed a practice or two, right? He played all but one game in 2019, and he sat out because it was a game where they had everything clinched. He played every game but the last one in 2023 because they had everything clinched and sewn up, and they didn't need him to play. So I want to make this very clear what I'm saying, but how is he going to attack this offseason coming off of this season where he's had all of these injuries? Is it, you just kind of shrug your shoulders and say it was just one of those years? And maybe it was. I don't know. Again, what do I know? Or is it a case where maybe you need to be a little more vigilant? Maybe you need to, do a little bit more in the same way that when Shannon Sharp said how he turned 30 years old, he started dropping a few pounds every year because that's the only way he could maintain his speed or maintain some of it at least, right? And that's, again, that's not to say Lamar's, it's not to say Lamar's at the end of his career. I'll reject that wholeheartedly. But there's that, and there's wanting to do everything you can to maximize and prolong your prime years. And it's just a simple question. And if anyone takes offense to that, then okay, fine. Then he's beyond reproach and there's nothing to see here. But, based on some of the reporting that was in that column this past week, or like what you just alluded to, or knowing that he hasn't shown up for OTAs, and which, you know me, I didn't really care about that when he was the MVP of the league. When you're coming off of an injury-plagued year where you didn't play quite as well, I'm going to ask if you're not there next
I'll just
spring.
say this, like, and this goes back to me having Marvin on recently and me being with coaches back, when the Ravens came in here a couple weeks ago, and just me knowing coaches better than anybody you've listened to on the radio knows coaches over the course of time. When they don't have their players at practice, they live their
Things
entire
harder.
lives ready for the students to come back in the classroom. They're up all night looking at film, looking at tendencies, having staffs of people do this at a professional level in order to bring you in and coach you. And I don't even know what to compare this to because people that have played team sports sort of understand this. But like, I remember, I'll break this down to Little League. When my dad, we'd have a Little League team back at Eastman Little League. If we only had seven players because five of the parents took their kids on vacation that week and we didn't have enough players,
To
that's
forfeit.
like, it's devastating to the other members of the team. But when you're out there to practice on Wednesday, every Wednesday for 3 months, and you're trying to win and you're getting your ass kicked, no wonder no wonder Snoop's, playing well. He's taken snaps, he's worked, he's got some timing. It looked to me like he threw the ball pretty well, and that he didn't look unpracticed. Although it's amazing what Flacco's been able to do, and like Phillip Rivers, these guys that have, and even Aaron Rodgers moving guys
I mean,
around, which
they have
makes him
so
really
much
dangerous.
institutional
That's
knowledge,
what makes
right? I
his ass
mean, yeah.
dangerous on Sunday night.
His brain, yeah.
Is he could come out and just find the matchup problem and get the ball to Adam Thielen three times on third down and wear you out and beat you by field goal. And end your season, and then we're talking about Lamar and did he practice? But I'll just say from the coaching perspective, if I got players that can't come out and practice and they can't be there when I'm prepping and prepping and prepping, there just comes a point where like the tolerance for that, for whatever the reason, I mean, they love Dennis Pitt around here, but he was hurt. Like when guys are hurt and they can't
Sure.
play, you can't count on them. Can I count on you? Can I count on you? And I know it's important to Lamar, right?
Of course it
But
is. I mean, it's,
I don't know if it's as important to him as it might have been before he had $250 million, because I think that changes everybody. My show's really important to me.
It could.
You would say to anybody, if I die today, anybody ask you how important my show was to me, my wife, anybody, my kid, they would say, my God, his show is so important to him. Was it as important to him today as it was in 1992? Absolutely. Effin'-lutely. I've met a lot of athletes that when they make the money, it's just not as important. Whatever it is, it's just not. And I don't know. And that's a tribute to Harbaugh and Tomlin, who are making $20 million a year, more money than they ever thought they would make. To me, it's a tribute to Jim Schwartz, who's, running around with that unit, making his $3.5 million a year being a defensive coordinator. But like, that's not your goal in life, is to be a 60-year-old coordinator. And having been it's hard
Sure.
to be the backup quarterback. It's hard to hear no for the first time in your life. Lamar's never heard no about anything. Like, right, he's heard you can't do it. But when it comes time to get paid and him to make that step up, he's always been able to do that. And this year, his body hasn't allowed him to do that for whatever
Well,
reason, right?
and that's why, right. So that's why my question is, how do you respond to this? Like, if you're Lamar Jackson, how do you
Oliver Luck
respond
just,
to this?
or not Oliver Luck. Andrew
Andrew
Luck just
Luck.
said no. Elvis Gerback just said no. Cam Newton
Mean,
just
Andrew.
said no. I just think
Well, I
there
mean,
is a
Cam
point.
Newton's play just really declined. So I hear what you're saying. Now, that said, I just acknowledge that. Is that line of thinking in any way me saying that I have any interest in trading or moving on from Lamar Jackson this offseason? Absolutely not.
Zero. But if he comes in and says, I don't like you. You don't like me. I want to play in Miami.
But
Make it
that's true of
happen.
anybody, right? I mean,
Right.
like,
But I
but
think
it's
we're
just a
at the
completely.
NBA-ification of this, where if he really wants to be here, he'll be. We're going to find out. And the same thing for John and for Steve and Eric and circling the wagons, because they're probably going to go win with their backup quarterback on Sunday night, and they're probably going to have a playoff game next week. And I would think Lamar's probably going to play in it. Like, so I that if you're asking me the script, if like literally, I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to win with Snoop Huntley by a hair on Sunday night. I think all hell's going to break loose in Pittsburgh for Tomlin and for just that situation there. And I think the Ravens are going to be playing a game here next week that you're going to be attending against the Houston Texans. And how Lamar plays in that game or what their fate is at that point, they will have won a division and hosted a playoff game. So it does not feel like a stagger for the franchise, even though
Even though they're 9-8 doing it.
last week we would have measured it as such.
Yeah, and but yeah, I hear you. I don't disagree. I think they're going to win Sunday. I'm not going to sit here with strong conviction about that because it's Ravens Steelers, and I've seen this Ravens team fool me before where I thought, oh, they're starting to put it together, and then they lay their next egg. Pittsburgh's done the same thing, right? They're very similar. How many times have we said how similar these teams are? This year, they're very similar. I mean, they're two mediocre football teams. Maybe the Ravens look better on paper, and certainly the state of their skill talent is better than what Pittsburgh's is right now. But The Ravens have a major health question at the quarterback position, right? And just because Snoop Huntley did what he did in Green Bay doesn't mean that he's going to replicate that with a full week of tape out there for a
It's
team to
less than
study.
ideal.
Oh, it's not ideal. I mean, like,
Yeah.
that's why I said, like, look, I love Huntley. I was higher on Huntley a couple years ago than most people. I mean, this organization tried to upgrade from him for the better part of 3 years. I never really fully understood that. Not to say that I thought Huntley was the greatest quarterback
By
in the
the way, the
history of.
Cooper Rush thing, huh?
I mean, yeah,
Woo.
that's the other. And I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com. I was trying to figure out what how to write from the standpoint I wanted to write off of the game, but I didn't want to just wait until after the Pittsburgh game. So I wrote from the standpoint of whatever happened in Cleveland, there was a sense of what could have been. And obviously, the big one was Derrick Henry and how they handled him at the end of the New England game and other times this year compared to how they handled him against the Packers. The other one was, I mean, signing Cooper Rush was one thing. You know, they did it in March. They thought he was going to give them a more pass-centric backup quarterback option than Tyler Huntley before that. Or, you know, I mean, in all honesty, I mean, I would have been fine with them bringing back Josh Johnson as their backup again, right? I mean, he would have been better than Cooper Rush. But you at least, I guess you could try to follow the line of thinking. But here was the problem for me. All spring, all summer, and in the preseason games, and watching him on the backfields in Owings Mills all summer, Cooper Rush did not look good. I mean, he just didn't. I've seen what bad backup quarterback play looks like, and he looked bad. I understood starting him in the Houston game, and let me be very clear, go back and look at what the Ravens inactive list was that day. No Ronnie Stanley, no Kyle Hamilton, no Roquan Smith, no Marlon Humphrey, no Lamar Jackson. I think Awuzie was out that game as well. I mean, Tyler Huntley wasn't beating the Texans that day. No, I mean, even if Lamar, with all those other guys being out, if Lamar had played that day with all those other guys out, might not have been good enough. I don't think Huntley was going to win that game whatsoever. And they got completely embarrassed that day. So I understood that. But I think where they really whiffed was continuing the sunk cost fallacy of sticking with Cooper Rush the following week against the Rams, a game they lost 17-3. That I think if Tyler Huntley starts that game and you just say, we're going to play, and this would have been the precursor to what they did in Green Bay Saturday night. I'm not saying they win that game. I'm not guaranteeing that by any stretch. And if you recall in that game, the Rams squandered some opportunities in that game. Like Devontae Adams dropped three passes, something like that. Stafford, I remember, missed a wide open guy in the end zone. I mean, so there was some fortune for the Ravens that fell to even be a 17-3 game. However, I think if Huntley starts that game, they have a puncher's chance to win that game. And at that point, when I was writing this on Sunday, early Sunday morning, the thought was, had they won just one more game, whether it was New England the previous week or a game at some other point along the way, they would have been guaranteed a Week 18 showdown at that point in time. Well, little did I know, little did anyone truly know, people were hoping, but the Cleveland Browns took care of business and fast forward now to Week 18. So it's, you know, the league's kind of crazy. Tyler Huntley is a perfect understudy for Lamar Jackson. Does he have the same upside? Of course not. He doesn't have near the passing capability that Lamar has when he's right. Lamar throws can push it downfield far more effectively than Huntley, who didn't really even try to throw the ball downfield on Saturday, which was fine. They didn't need to when Derrick Henry's running for 200 yards. But in the instances where you're going to have to do that, which will happen at some point. It might not happen Sunday night, but for as long as Huntley, you know, if Lamar ends up missing more time than we think or something else happens and he's the guy, that gets exposed eventually. But for what he is, which to me, he's a backup quarterback who can run. He gets along well with your starting quarterback. He's someone who his teammates really like. He knows the offense. And you can go out there and you can kind of just, you know, you kind of muddy the waters, right? It's just like we're going to run the ball, and this is going to be kind of the 2018 style Ravens, right? Where we are just running the ball with our quarterback and with our tailback, and you know, we're going to do a little bit of play action passing, and we're going to get the ball out, and we're not going to put him in positions where he's going to turn the ball
Well, it's
over.
down in
And
distance
yeah,
management.
but that's the style of play with him. If Tyler Huntley has to play for More than a couple weeks, then yeah, he gets exposed. And I think we saw that in 21 and 22, right? But if it's a case where it's a 3 week sample size, I think he can win you, help you win a couple
Things
games.
go
And
downhill if you turn the ball over twice with Tyler
sure.
Huntley because you
Well,
can't
I
get
mean, things
buried
turn,
out. And
and
I
I
mean,
don't know that happens
like
with
the
anyone.
Lamar offense didn't look like it had any quick strike ability either. Lamar trying to run 2 minute a couple weeks ago looked like a train wreck to
Well,
me.
and that's still my biggest concern in terms of, going back to your, can they win the Super Bowl? This passing game, other than throwing to Zay Flowers, there's nothing you can rely on in that passing game right now. And that for me, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean I'm saying Lamar has to throw it 50 times a game for them to win the Super Bowl. No, it's never been that. But you do have to be able to make plays from the pocket and make plays in your passing game. And that's where there's been just such a dramatic drop off from last year and the year before that even if Lamar comes back with the back really feeling well, let's face it, that structurally, that passing game hasn't looked anything close to where it looked last year in a long time. So that's still where I take some pause. And, even though this conversation's been about Lamar and Harbaugh and, the future and big picture and all that, I still go back to, I'll trust this defense against good quarterbacks. I mean, I just don't. I mean, you saw what Malik Willis even did to them on Saturday night. But that said, bringing it
Yeah,
back to
this isn't going
Lamar.
to be easy.
No,
Thinking
I'm
this is
just.
going to be easy because the Steelers choked in Cleveland the other day, that has nothing to
It's
do
a
with this
week-to-week
week.
league.
You know what? The Cleveland had Myles Garrett. We don't have that.
NFL, no freaking logic. I mean, they're just. I mean, that's my new one. I don't
All right.
know. I don't know.
Get a
Am I
logo for
picking
that.
the Ravens Sunday night? Yeah. Would I put my mortgage on that? Not putting anything of value betting on this year's iteration of the Ravens because I don't trust them. That said, I trust the Pittsburgh Steelers even less, and that's why, yeah, I am going to go with the Ravens on Sunday night.
I'm going to create a no freaking logic logo for you.
I thought that was
Lou
pretty.
Jones is
Thought that
here.
was pretty good, by the way. I
Yeah,
mean,
I'm
no
going to
fun
put that
league,
in.
not for
No
long, because
NFL, no,
I kept
no
trying to think, like, what,
freaking
like, I was
logic.
trying to think of, what's something that goes with NFL that attests, it's the idea that none of us know what the heck we're talking about on a weekly basis. And there you go. I mean, that's the truth. I've been wrong picking the Ravens. I don't know how many weeks in a row now this week. So if you're listening, that's probably, probably a sign that I should pick against the Ravens this week, but. I do think they're going to win on Sunday night, but I don't know for sure. It's Raven Steelers. Who the heck knows?
No freaking logic. Just checking that out. Luke Jones is here. He's Baltimore Luke. If there is any logic to the Orioles, including the Zach Eflin edition, you get it first on the WNSD tech service. Brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy as we end 2025, go into 2026. I think we're like 18 years now into having the first breaking news service. We still get it out pretty quickly through our Canadian things, and the American government doesn't allow you to send text the way we used to. So, because of the spamming politicians that are out there, we're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road soon. It's the Candy Cane Cash. It's been a lucky batch. This one still smells like peppermint, which is nice for the holidays. So, like a peppermint mocha that I probably need here to get through New Year's Eve. Luke and I are headed to Pittsburgh on Sunday night. One of us will have a press credential. The other one's going to get stolen cookies from the guy who has the press credential. And we're going to watch some football in Pittsburgh this week while they slobber knock at the confluence with the AFC North crown at stake. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We're WNSD. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive, and Happy New Year's.